Today on Real Radio.
All you have to do is promise people peace. I promise you peace and prosperity. Daniel says he will deceive the world by peace and prosperity. What does the world want tonight? Peace and prosperity.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In the message, Our Biblical Worldview and War, Pastor Jack explains that free nations today are fighting various forms of oppression, some of which have no borders, no flag, no uniforms, and no rules. So, is a nation morally obligated to protect and defend its citizens? Do we avenge and execute wrath on those who practice evil? Today, Pastor Jack warns us that the doctrine of appeasement has always failed. History shows us that only if you're strong as a nation will no other nation stand against you. We live in a hostile world where evil must be resisted and defeated continuously, and our nonviolent convictions can't stop this aggression. And now for today's lesson, here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As I mentioned earlier, Joshua, he went to war. Did a man after God's own heart, David, did he ever go to war? Did Israel, God's nation, go to war? They're still at war. Have nations throughout human history gone to war? I'm going to freak you out with this one. Did God, according to the Bible, ever go to war? And is he going to go to war? The Bible says yes. How does he do that? I don't know, except that when there have been battles in Israel's history, and in, for example, 1967 and 73, where there are such miraculous events taking place on the battlefield, that God had to be there. When one tank destroys 100 Syrian tanks, one Jewish tank, Israeli tank. How does that happen? He was in a hole, and he went up, and he kept popping up, like this, and he was being invaded from every side. This is documented. This is all on film. You can read about it. You can watch the videos of it. That guy and the one guy in the tank, he'd pull up. He'd go like this. And then go over there. And the Syrians kept saying, there must be 50 tanks inside that hole. There was only one guy going like this. Oh my gosh, we're going to get killed. I'm serious. Go look it up. Watch it. Read it. It's amazing. God did that. How is it that Israel's under attack by the Egyptian Air Force. Israel knows they're going to be destroyed, so they wind up, they're going to fly down to Egypt to the air bases, not Cairo. They're not going to kill the people. They're going to go down to the air bases, and the Egyptians believe that it's such an easy victory, they're going to take time for tea. They break for tea. They're having tea. The pilots are having tea, and Israel blows up their runway so they can't take their planes off. That's a God thing. That's God stuff. When Israel's surrounded and there's no hope and the enemy's coming, and God says, oh yeah, watch this. And he causes the enemies to see flaming chariots and angelic appearances in their eyes above the trees. And they go, oh my goodness, we're going to die. God, that's God stuff. He goes to battle. There's ultimate, of course, when the Lord comes. But in Psalm 18:32. The Bible says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arm can bend a bow of bronze. Listen, class, this is a test. Is it moral or immoral for, say, the United States to go to war to defend England against and France against Hitler's invasion? Moral or immoral? But it's war. Did you hear what you just said? Should Hitler be stopped? Why should he be stopped? He's evil. God established nations to exercise war on evil empires. Can you handle that? Isn't this a fun class tonight? This is real. Most of the, we just hit some topics tonight, and we've gone deeper than a lot of classes can't go. They can't even go there. But this is real. Winston Churchill pleaded and begged that the United States would get involved in World War II. Was Winston Churchill moral or immoral? You better say moral if there's a Brit near you anywhere. He was moral. When Ronald Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall against the evil empire of communism and its regime," was Ronald Reagan moral or immoral? Now, that's an amazing thing, because Ronald Reagan launched an era of warfare unlike any other time previously, because Ronald Reagan brought the Soviet empire to destruction by a bluff. I happen to have been in Quantico, Virginia, and instructed by some Marines who are at the College of War, Institute of War. They study Reagan's doctrine on war. Did you know that? Did you know that Ronald, I'll give you a little bit of overtime here. Watch this. Ronald Reagan becomes president. He knows that Russia's got plans to expand. Ronald Reagan got Raytheon and Boeing and General Dynamics and Martin together, got all these companies together. And he said, "I have an idea. I want to have this thing built in space. It will destroy a nuclear missile when it's launched in space. Doesn't hurt anybody if we blow it up. It'd be great. No matter what is launched, we'll blow it up in space. America and the freedom-loving world is safe, and our enemies will be embarrassed. They'll lose credibility and dry up. So I want this Star Wars initiative started." Star Wars. That's what it was called. And you know what they said? The Joint Chiefs staff and all these companies, they said, "Mr. President, it'd take a gazillion billion dollars. We don't have it. And it will take probably 20 years to do it." And Reagan said, "Then go." He did. He said, "Go." And an entire generation of engineers went to work. And guess what happened? This is all studied now in war. Reagan leaked the secret program to the Russians. He had somebody through channels get it to the Russians. Guess what America's doing? They're building a system that will blow up your missiles in space. And Russia said, "We can't have this happen. Quick." And they got all of their engineers together and they started on a countermeasure program. Did you know that? And they tried to do it. They tried to figure out what we were doing. Reagan knew it would never work. He didn't tell anybody. And when Russia went broke trying to fund the program, that's right, he broke them without firing a shot because he leaked what he wanted leaked. That's brilliant diplomacy. No Russians got hurt in the making of that policy. It created a bazillion American jobs. And we're a lot smarter for it. We certainly benefited from it, but we could never have achieved the project. But the Russians didn't know that. That's warfare. Did you know that? And that's brilliant. That's good stuff. But I'm still on, can a Christian go to war? And 1 Peter 2:13 says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by God, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Wow. Romans 13:4, "For he," that is the enforcer, "is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Wow. Luke 22:36. Okay, you guys sitting down? Hang on. Luke 22:36. "Then Jesus said to them, 'But now He who has a money bag, let him take it. Likewise, a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment. And what? Buy one. Why? Self-protection. The apostles were being sent out into a hostile, dangerous world. And Jesus says, you're going to need a knife to protect yourself from crazies. Isn't that amazing? When's the last time you heard that sermon? That's about as politically incorrect. That's about as church theologically incorrect as you can get. No one's going to touch this. Wow. Five, is war ever just?
It's an unjust war.
Okay, it may be. Something may be. There may be an unjust war, of course. There will be. But is war ever just? Just war by nature, a just war, defines or applies what is known as the earlier said Western or Judeo-Christian ethic, which is what? When is there a just war? To defend morality, freedom, justice, liberty, peace, self-determination when threatened from within or without. Wow. Self-determination when that's threatened. Freedom. Now, did you know that nations call, well, they used to, they don't anymore. Nations used to call us up and say, can you help us? There's people coming against us. I'll give you one that's in my generation. Remember a country called Kuwait? By the way, did you know that at the same time Saddam Hussein went nuts and was invading Kuwait? Do you know who called us up and said, come and park your ships here and all your airplanes and all your guys. We'll give them free falafel. Free falafel of everybody. Just get here quick. It was the largest movement of military equipment since World War II. Some debate it was ever in human history. First Gulf War, remember that? You know where all the stuff went? Saudi Arabia. They said, come and defend our country, which is amazing generosity on our part because we're a Jeffersonian democracy. And we went and defended a Islamic Sharia law nation. They called us to help them. They didn't call Iran. They didn't call Pakistan. They called us. Isn't that interesting? America used to get the phone call to say, come and help us, America. We want to be free. And according to the definition of a just war, that's a just war. Now, I read today someone, and this is so the way the thinking is today, that we should bring all of our efforts home for all around the world. And it was a young man, about 23 years of age, and he said, why don't we just let the rest of the world go to you know where? As long as we're okay, who cares, he said. And I'm sick of the rest of the world leaning on us. You know, America used to be the hope of the nations. People, you know, even to this hour, there are more people immigrating to America at this hour than any, listen, this is a fact, go look it up. Put all nations combined of their immigration process. All the nations of the world, take all the people that are immigrating to those nations and put that number up, and then put the number of people immigrating to the United States, and we still beat them all. People are still wanting to come here. That's pretty amazing. They want liberty. It's in the human heart to be free. It's amazing. You guys okay with this topic, or are you going to lay awake at night? This is the real deal. This is a very big issue. And so here's what I want you to do. Even if you don't want to come back and I don't want to hear about that stuff. It makes me nervous. Well, then you should come back. But if you don't want to come back, regardless, invite young people to come back. Because there is a doctrine that they are being fed that is a, it's a, I don't know, I don't even know what, I don't know how to, what the term is, but it's a surrender mentality. Don't fight for anything. Don't defend anything. Nothing's of value. And they're being told this. I just read this today on a college website. If we just took all, now look, I appreciate the sentiment. We have to take all of the weapons of the world away. We have to put them away where nobody can get to them. And there'll be a world peace. Okay, that's great. But you'd have to take away all rocks and sticks. And you'd probably have to cut the hands off of most men who have a temper. Where do you stop with this? Of course, that's ridiculous talk. That's theoretical nincompoop. It's crazy. It's not even logical. Then the answer was, we need to have a global government, a global entity. Like, hey, don't laugh. Today, did you see the news, United Nations, regarding gun control? The United Nations is making a law about your gun control in America. They're trying to blow off the U.S. Constitution applying to Americans at the U.N. So we need a global government, and there'll be peace. We had the Roman Empire ruled the world. There was no peace. England ruled the world, and there was no peace. What are you talking about? But you hear this kind of talk on a college campus? Do you hear that? Do you know your Bible? The Bible says there's a guy coming who's going to be a super cool politician. But the Bible says he is a profuse liar who promises the world peace and prosperity, Daniel says, and he will engineer a peace treaty with Israel and their neighbors for 7 years, and he will usher in a time of global peace. And the Bible, I believe, if I'm reading it right, tells us that he'll arise out of the ancient Roman Empire. So you look at all those nations. He's going to somehow either be over it, or he'll somehow command it, or he'll somehow come up out of it, and he's the world's answer. And you know what? You and I sit here tonight and go, that'll never happen. That's so stupid. We know what the Bible says. Who would believe in that? Are you kidding me? All you have to do is promise people peace. I promise you peace and prosperity. Daniel says he will deceive the world by peace and prosperity. What does the world want tonight? Peace and prosperity. Wow. Even Americans have a tendency to vote their wallet instead of their values. Right? Isn't that sad? We sell out, man, the drop of a buck. I believe, what, you'll cut my taxes? Well, all right. Hey, he's got my vote. Are you'll increase my welfare? You got my vote. Oh, come on. Well, we need to pray because the Middle East is on the brink right now of war tonight. I'm excited because I know my Bible, and I have never, always in my lifetime, whenever there was a Middle East war, people will ask, is this the Ezekiel 38, 39 battle? Previous, you couldn't think so because Turkey was never involved. And now Turkey's so involved. But Turkey could be involved, but Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal in the region of Gog, G-O-G, Ezekiel 38, they would have to be involved. Oh, they're involved. They have their aircraft carriers there and their soldiers and their technicians and their rockets and they're there. Wow. What's going on? I don't know. Somebody asked me before service, do you think we're going to see the Ezekiel battle or the rapture? I don't know. I kind of would like to see Ezekiel happen. I mean, because... You guys, go home tonight and read it. It's great bedtime reading. Ezekiel 37 and 38, Ezekiel 37 and 38 says that in the last days, only after Israel has been brought back from all the nations of the world and they are back as a nation again. Hello, that's tonight. That they dwell safely. They believe they dwell safely, and the word in Hebrew is they believe they dwell safely. It's deception. We're safe. That there will arise an evil thought in a nation that dwells to the uttermost parts of the north from Jerusalem. What does that mean? The word means as far north as you can go from Jerusalem before you head south. You can only go so far before you start going south. So tonight when you go home, grab your globe and some thread. Go to Jerusalem and go to either the magnetic North Pole, which all of you aviators and navigators know what I'm talking about, or you go to the North Pole that's on your globe. There's the magnetic. Go through either one and look what nation it goes through. Whoever that nation would be, whoever the leader would be, he would have a title by the name of Gog. Gog is a political, military, same time, one guy, same time leader of a nation. He commands the military, and he's the chief politician. He's not going to want to go to war, it says. It says that there'll be a hook put in his jaw, and he'll be spun around and pulled down into the battle that he doesn't want to get involved in. And the nations that he doesn't want to get involved with are all listed in your Bible. And right now, tonight, every one of them are Muslim Brotherhood campaign winners in the Arab Spring elections of this summer. They're all Muslim nations, except the one that's pulled into the battle. They will launch a war against Israel, and God says, I will arise. And those invaders will drop dead in the mountains of Israel. And then Israel will know that I am their Lord. You guys, that is a serious, amazing... That'll never happen. That'll never happen. The Bible prophecies have always been fulfilled literally. Not one is missed. So sleep well tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we do, as a people, we ought to really thank you tonight for the peace that we've known here in our nation. I think where I'm standing right now, there hasn't been a war here, I think, since 1858, if my memory serves me right. I think of the East Coast of the United States, and I think of the 1860s when our nation was warring against itself in civil war. I think of our Revolutionary War, which we shouldn't have won. No way that we could have won, but by you, we did win. We're sitting here in a nation free tonight because a lot of people laid down their life in war. There's people here tonight that are upset with this message and they're enjoying the freedom of those who went to war. Tonight, we ought to be a thankful people.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. Pastor Jack thanks you for listening to today's message and reminds us to stay encouraged over the times in which we live. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series, a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. If you are looking to have a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith, which we hope you do, check out the Worldview Series. Now, you can get your hands on the entire series, the entire Worldview Series, on MP3 for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And it's in a very convenient format. It's a USB thumb drive that contains the entire Worldview series of sermons by Pastor Jack on MP3. Now, you can load those into your computer if you'd like. You can put them onto your iPad, your iPod, whatever you like to carry during the day. And you'll have the entire Worldview series. Now, this is the series that Pastor Jack really focused on you having a more active, a more relevant, and engaging faith. It helps us connect biblical context to our modern-day world. You know, a lot of us have a tough time doing that, connecting the Bible to our everyday life. Well, this Worldview Series is going to help you do just that. It's the Worldview Series USB MP3, available for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once again, for your gift of any amount to this ministry, you'll get that Worldview Series on USB thumb drive in MP3 format. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.